Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Blazers coming up. I know that Peyton Pritchard grew up here in the state of Oregon. I know that you're familiar with him. I know that you've watched him win state championships at West Lynn High School and then go on to the University of Oregon and then get drafted. And now he's in the NBA playing well with the Celtics in town. My only regret is that he's not going to be able to walk onto the floor in the arena that he grew up probably seeing NBA games in and see like a standing ovation from a very appreciative home crowd. But still, Peyton Pritchard's coming home and he's joining us now. What's that going to be like for you?
It's going to be a crazy moment. Obviously it's a little different without the fans being there and my family and friends being able to watch. But, you know, obviously, like you said, growing up, watching NBA games and now playing in the arena at an NBA level is going to be special.
What was it like? Like, you must have looked at the schedule and saw that game on the horizon. Maybe you circle it. I mean, can you afford to do that when you're playing? Do you look ahead a little bit and say, all right, I'm going to get to go home?
I think, with the NBA schedule, it's so hectic. But you definitely look forward to good places to go. So Portland being, you know, home for me, I definitely look forward to coming back and seeing my family.
Did you get a chance to get a home-cooked meal? Did you get to see mom and dad? How did that go down?
I did get to see some of my family last night. My mom and dad they're not here at the moment. They've been in Boston a lot with me, so they've been in the East Coast on that side, but definitely got to see the rest of my family.
We all know you could play. I was saying it before the draft. I said, this guy's an NBA player. He's a first-round pick. And, you know, the people who hadn't seen you or didn't know you were doubting you. What does it feel like to be in the league that you grew up since, I don't know how young you were, wanting to be part of?
It's definitely crazy. When you first go out there and you play your first couple games, it's a little surreal and you're taking it all in. But now I just want to make my name and keep working and really solidify myself in this league.
How do you feel like you're playing? And, you know, maybe how prepared did you feel when you walked through the door?
I felt really prepared. I trained hard, definitely prepared myself for this opportunity and stuff. But, you know, I think with this season, it's a learning process. Definitely had some great moments and I've had some low moments. So, you know, you take it all in, you learn, and it's part of the rookie season and you just build on that.
Peyton Pritchard is with us. You didn't get your final March Madness. Were you watching the Pac-12 in the tournament?
Definitely. The Pac-12 did unbelievable in boys and girls.
Yeah. I think it was really I keep wondering like what, you know, maybe you can't go back and look at this, but I keep wondering if maybe this would have happened a year ago. Your last year at Oregon, if you guys are in that tournament, do you get to rattle around a little bit?
You know, I would think so. I think we would have definitely made a big run last year. I thought we were really talented and everything was falling together right at the right time. So, you know, anything can happen in March as long as you're clicking.
Peyton Pritchard with us, Boston Celtics guard. You grow up focused on this goal. You get to the league. You've made some game-winning shots. You've played some minutes. You obviously you fit with this team and you belong there. But what didn't you know? What is, you know, maybe something that you learned since you've been there that you didn't see coming?
I think from an outsider's perspective, that you don't understand what the grind is really like and the traveling and the playing every other day. and how hectic and hard that can actually be. So, you know, you really got to do the little things to take care of your body and be mentally and physically sharp. So that was probably the biggest adjustment for me.
Yeah, I think regular people can't relate to that because we say, oh, you're staying in great hotels, you're playing a game, but it's night after night, isn't it? It's sort of like the cumulative effect of you need to take care of your body because that's what's helping you perform.
Definitely. I mean, and I say mentally too because it's, you know, preparing every night to play and get up and, you know, your adrenaline's running like that and then to come down and then get ready the next day. It's just it can be definitely draining, and you got to find little ways to recover quickly and get ready for the next one.
You know, you guys are sitting in the seventh spot in the Eastern Conference. You want to be in the top six, but you're right there. You're right with Charlotte for six. And do you guys focus on that at all, or do you have to compartmentalize and just kind of say, we have to take care of tonight, we're in Portland, this is the game we need to be focused on?
No, I think that's all we got to worry about. It's just worry about our game and handling our business, and the rest will take care of itself. And for us, it's just about making the right steps, is getting better as a team and getting ready for the playoffs. So when that comes, we're ready to make a run.
The NFL guys that play in college will talk about the speed of the game being faster when they make the next jump. What is different about the NBA?
You know, I think it's almost scoring-wise, it's easier to score in the NBA because it's more space. Guys can't sit in the lane. Obviously, the three-point line is farther, so guys have to come guard out on the at the three-point line longer. So it's just a little bit different. I think it allows guards and guys to be able to get in the lane more.
It's game-winning shot. You hit a game-winning shot. You know, I know your teammates celebrated with you. How did that feel?
That was crazy. I mean, that was like my seventh game, or I don't know how early in the season that was, but you know, definitely a great feeling there.
Peyton Pritchard is with us. He will be at the Blazers tonight. Celtics at the Blazers, a homecoming for him. And you know, Danny Ainge is the GM who drafts you. Did he give you any advice? Did he talk to you as you come through the doors, or is it more that he sort of hands you over to the coaching staff?
No, D.A. definitely talked to me. You know, just told me to go in there and be aggressive and just pretty much be the player I am. So, you know, I think D.A. has a lot of faith in me, which is why he drafted me. So it's definitely worked out, I think.
Yeah, it's good. I think obviously he knows you. He knows the state. He knew where you came from. And I think a lot of people know your story. We're talking to Peyton Pritchard. You know, some guys will make it their goal to get to the league. You're there. The mission accomplished there. What is the next step for you? Because you talked about making a name for yourself, getting better. Like, how ambitious do you have to stay in this league?
You know, I think that changes for each person in the league. For me, it's about just working on my craft every day and becoming the best player I can be and really solidifying myself as being one of those top guys and tough point guards. So
we've been talking on the show a little bit about youth sports growing up, and I, you know, the legends of Peyton Pritchard as a fifth grader, a sixth grader. What were the things that you did that helped position you to be where you are today?
Well, I think, you know, right before high school, middle school, I started taking training seriously and little stuff like that. But I think, you know, what really got me here was my competitiveness and my willingness to really never give in and never give up and always keep pushing. So I really credit that to a lot of my success with, obviously, the training.
What's an off day like for you? Because there has to be, like, you talk about the mental grind, you know, and you got a pandemic going on, so it's not like you can wander around the city, you know, untethered. But how important is it to give yourself that mental break?
I think it's really important. You know, definitely, you know, at least one day of the week, you need to kind of step away from things and you know, give your body a break, but also your mind a break from the game and relax. And then that's why to have that ability to step away and then come back and be hungry again.
Got some Duck fans who are tweeting and saying, you know, ask Peyton if he wants the Sonics back in the league, because everybody knows Peyton owns Seattle. What was your success with Washington? Because you were a problem for the Huskies.
Well, I definitely would like for the Sonics to come back, and Seattle is a good team. I think that would be awesome, and I think Seattle is a great basketball city, so they definitely need a team there. And then as far as Washington goes, you know, I just think that's a rivalry game, and definitely a game I circled on the calendar and look forward to every year.
What do your teammates call you? You got a nickname?
Here? With the Celtics?
Celtics, yeah.
I got a bunch of different nicknames that have been thrown around, but there's a good amount. But I hear probably like P-Rabbit or 8 Mile the most.
Yeah, because you're Eminem in their eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. You know, and we always hear about, you know, how the rookies have to go do stuff. Is that still going on? Like, do you have to go get a newspaper for somebody? Do you have to go get breakfast for somebody? Do you have to carry the bags? What happens to a rookie?
There's definitely some rookie duties. You know, for instance, when we're playing, sometimes you have to get meals for the team or before we head out on trips or little stuff like that. It's nothing too crazy. But definitely, you know, there's some rookie duties at times that you have to take care of, but everybody goes through it.
Yeah, I think it's so much fun. You know, Blazers Celtics tonight here in Portland at Moda Center. I wish that there was a crowd, because I think people know and appreciate your story. I think everybody here in the state of Oregon, as this show airs statewide, I think everybody's proud of you, Peyton. And the one disappointment I'm going to have is that arena will not, like, Peyton Pritchard on the court, get on your feet, welcome him home, that moment. That will come one day, but still, when you walk out there, will you look around a little bit, or can you afford to look around a little bit when you get on the court?
You know, I'll take it in, because I've played on that court so much growing up, you know, through high school and college. But, you know, I'll definitely be looking forward to the time when there's fans in that building, because I know how good the fans are here and stuff like that. And then, you know, having my family there in the stands, it would definitely be a special moment.
I think there are so many people, your parents, your sister, you know, a lot of the coaches, V at Westland High School, and who have been part of the Peyton Pritchard story. You know, your phone has to blow up. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I really hesitated to try to drag you on, but I was like, there's so many people that want to hear from you. What does that mean to you to have all those people who have invested in you, your sister, your parents, your aunts and uncles down the line, friends, family, community members? What does that mean to have everybody sort of, you know, banging the drum and proud of you?
Oh, it means the world to me. Just coming from the community I came from, you know, it's a really tight community, and all the people you named having my back and supporting me, it definitely means the world, and I'm very grateful for it.
The Portland gear that you're wearing, you're wearing the Oregon sneakers. You got the Portland gear hat on. I've noticed that. How intentional is that, you know, sort of with your wardrobe?
I definitely try to, you know, represent Oregon, being, because obviously I grew up here. So when I can, I want to, you know, rep Portland and Oregon and just represent it.
All right. Before I cut you loose, like, there is a, you know, you got a poster on your bedroom wall when you grow up, or maybe a player you grow up watching, you suddenly look up, you're on the court with this guy. Who's that player right now in your mind?
Oh, that's tough. You know, honestly, my favorite player growing up was Dwayne Wade, but obviously he's retired right before I came in the league. But, you know, for me, it's just seeing all the, you know, when you go against guys like LeBron or Kevin Durant or other players that have been in the league for a while, they've, you know, since I've been in, like, middle school watching. So those are crazy moments when you go against them.
Give me an idea. Like, what's that like when LeBron's coming down the lane?
Just, I didn't play against him the first time because I was hurt at that moment. So I haven't actually been on the court with him. But, you know, when the Giannis or KD, how big they are and athletic and skill-wise it is, it's definitely tough.
All right, Peyton, get out there tonight, and just know the state of Oregon, I think, is extremely proud of you, and it's fun to see you succeed. You're easy to root for. You're an easy kid to get behind, and you know I think a lot of listeners out there sending their support your way, and congrats to you and your family as well.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
All right, Peyton Pritchard, we had him on the show probably in maybe 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. I don't know. He's been on this show quite often. He's coming home. And yes, he's played on that court, but he'll be in an NBA uniform as the Blazers and Celtics tip off. And I think it'll be a lot of fun to see sort of the one of the sons of Oregon coming home and being on the court in the same way that I think it was neat to see Kevin Love come and compete on that court, in the same way that I think we've watched a lot of Oregonians over the years. We've mentioned a ton of them on the show today, who have come through. Peter Sampson, before I go to break here, out of that interview, a couple things that hit me. One, like, it's your lifelong dream to get to the NBA, and you get there, and it's like an Olympian who's saying, I want to get to the Olympics. Okay, now you've qualified for the Olympic team. Now go win a medal. Like, now he has to have the ambition to take that next step. It's not about making the league anymore for Peyton Pritchard. Second thing is, you know, I can feel that he's still a kid. Like, there's still a joy for the game in Peyton Pritchard. And I hope he never loses that, because it is a grind. It is a business. And I can't imagine, like, in an 82-game schedule with playoffs and preseason, that in the offseason training, that after, you know, 5, 6, 7 years in the league, you do get players who are sort of, you know, they're hollow-eyed when they start talking about playing in the league. I've seen it before, and Peyton Pritchard's not at that point, and I hope he never gets there.
No, he's definitely still, I mean, you know, obviously Peyton's always been a pretty chill guy, but he's still got that kind of, you can tell, reverence for the game. What really stood out to me, John, is Peyton is known, you know, in high school and college, he is a grinder, and it just goes to show how much work you need to put in, that he's still, that was the first kind of notable thing, is how much you have to grind in the NBA. That really stuck out to me.
Yeah, I remember LaMarcus Aldridge one time, he was in the locker room, and it was late in the season, and I said, how are you feeling? He said, I'm tired. He looked over, I'm tired. And I said, you're staying in 5-star hotels. You're traveling on a charter. Like, how? And he goes, no. I said, your mom, his mom was a bus driver, LaMarcus Aldridge. I said, what about your mom? You know, what, you know, she was tired. You're not tired. And he said, no, it's different. And I think Peyton Pritchard was saying the same thing. It's kind of the mental grind. You're used to playing, what, 25 or 30 games in a college season, or 40 games if you're, you know, playing everything. And now you're playing, like, 40 games is going to get you to the All-Star break, right, in a regular NBA season. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Kevin Durant and Shannon Sharp now at odds. It is the subject of the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Why don't you go to culliganoforegon.com to check out the services that Culligan can offer for you.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Kevin Durant spends a lot of time on social media worrying about what people say about him, what was said about him, setting the record straight, making a fool of himself, whatever you want to say about it. But on Monday's edition of Undisputed, Shannon Sharp talked about Kevin Durant and said that essentially he used a quote that was not an actual quote from Kevin Durant and said, look, Kevin Durant has said essentially that he's not in the game just to win championships. He wants to be the best player he can possibly be. and Shannon Sharpe went on TV and responded and read a quote that was a fake quote from Kevin Durant. Durant noticed it on Monday night, went after Shannon Sharpe, called him a drunk uncle. Shannon Sharpe blocked Kevin Durant on social media. They're going back and forth. Neither one of them looks good. I think Shannon Sharpe should just come out and say, hey, I got fooled by a fake quote, and Kevin Durant didn't actually say that. But the larger point I always come back to is, like, why is Kevin Durant so focused on what everybody says, Peter?
It's pathological. I don't understand it. I mean, every part of this story is just obnoxious to me. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But Kevin Durant, he needs someone in his ear that's telling him, you're one of the greatest players of all time. You're a multiple-time champion. Just relax. Play your game. There's nothing wrong with focusing on being the best.
Just have that on repeat all the time. Yeah. Should we all just block Kevin Durant now? Like wouldn't that be like everybody just block Kevin Durant, make it done now? Because look, but shouldn't Shannon Sharpe accept publicly that I got fooled by a fake quote. It's a mistake. It happened. Whatever. I mean, that's not a major mistake. And the quote that he was quoting was essentially Kevin Durant saying, "Look, LeBron is the greatest player of all time, and I beat him twice in an NBA Finals, so what does that make me?" Durant never said that, but somebody posted that as if it were a Durant quote, and Shannon Sharpe repeated it. We've all been fooled by things on social media.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shame in saying that. I've been fooled by the fake account without the blue check mark. We've all done it. I don't know why Sharpe would refuse to do that. I don't think there's a ton of shame in that. But, I mean, both sides, I'm sure, just so dug in that they have to have their side. And, of course, it's generating pub. I just don't need it.
Where I lost respect for Kevin Durant is, you know, he says, look, we need to get back to being competitive. Look at all these people that are jumping from team to team. And then he joins the 73-win Warriors. And then he jumps to the Nets with James Harden and Kyrie. I don't really understand or know what Kevin Durant is after. Like, and by the way, is it a faux pas for him to say, I'm not about championships, I'm about being the best player I can be?
I don't think it is. I think the media and fans make way too much about championships. I know that's the ultimate goal is to win the championship every year, but on a player level, you should be focused on being the best player you can be.
Yeah, I think I want to give Kevin Durant a break on that front. Like, just, yeah, okay. Like, I don't want to nitpick you there, but I come back to this. When you are on the level of Kevin Durant, you are on the stage, the spotlight is on you. Stop pulling people on the stage with you. Stop having the
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.